Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Here, I got an email. Sometimes they send these emails about World Series odds and all this stuff.
Oh, yeah, I get that stuff too, like Bovada, yeah, whatever, some of those things.
Usually I ignore it, but it does pertain to this conversation because we're talking about next year and like where the Yankees stand as far as the Blue Jays go. Take a guess where you think, well, I mean, I guess there's a bunch of teams tied here. Take a guess, though, where you think the Yankees are first and the odds, as far as best odds to win the World Series.
Third?
They are second.
Yeah.
I mean,
every year it's like that.
Every year it's the same thing. Mm-hmm. Where do you think the Blue Jays are?
Sixth? Fifth?
The Blue Jays are, let's see, one, two. The Blue Jays are tied for fourth with one, two, three, four other teams. That would include the Astros, the Mariners, and the Mets.
Okay.
So you have the Blue Jays, Mariners, Mets, Astros all at 12-1.
Yeah.
The Phillies at 10-1. They're third. Obviously, the Dodgers are going to be first at 7-2, and then the Yanks are right there at plus 750. They are 15-2.
I mean, there's just too much that's going to be done here. Let's take Philadelphia, for example. Are they going to bring back Schwarber? Are they going to trade? They kind of silenced that rumbling, but
I'm assuming these
put
odds,
money on that?
I'm assuming these odds factor in what the expectation would be for the offseason, which is why kind of, you know, the Mets are even closer to the Philly. 10-1 and 12-1, not really that big of a difference. But the fact that the Yankees would be the clear second behind the Dodgers really says all that you need to know. Like, it feels like it's that far away. And again, I'm not going just based off of the odds, but even in a year coming off of a year where the Yankees got bounced before the ALCS, the gap is not as far as it feels when you watch this team play every day.
Where are the Braves? Just out of curiosity.
Let me pull it back up here.
They had a lot of injuries. They lost a few guys. I thought they were going to be pretty good this year.
Yeah, and they were obviously awful. Braves they're 18-1. So you got in front of them, you have the Padres and Red Sox, and then the groups that we said before.
You think the Red Sox reload, like really get after it and really go out there and spend some money? I do too.
I do.
I think Pete could be. I told you that. I think Pete could be in play for the Red Sox.
Tigers 25-1, Brewers 20-1, Cubs 25-1. Like,
I wouldn't touch any of those.
That's what I'm saying. Those teams, it feels like. Yeah. But to be fair, where do you think the Blue Jays were a year ago at this time?
16? Is that 15?
Oh, I think even worse, dude. At this time a year ago, they're coming off a last-place finish.
Yeah.
In the offseason, coming off a last place, even if people expected them to go big and get a big free agent, I don't think there's any way. I think they were probably 25-1 at best. You could check that. Romney, is there a way you could check that? Odds last year.
I don't mean 18-1. I mean like 18th shortest odds.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, they wouldn't have been 18-1.
BT and Sal on the fan, 888-808-1019, the number to call. Gus is calling from Mamaroneck. What's up, Gus?
Hey, it's always a pleasure to talk to you guys. Thank you for giving my Packers love, first of all.
Yeah, well, they've earned it.
But to the point of my phone call, I was thinking that, I mean, you know, I love Brandon Lowe from Tampa Bay as a second baseman. He's a contact hitter, and he's a very good fielder. I was thinking of the Mets trying to get him. I would keep Beatty. I would give him one more shot at third base. I'd like to bring that guy, Benj from the minor leagues, up to play center field. So this way we could be strong up the middle. I know Lindor is an all-star, and I think that he's going to be going on to the downside of his career. Maybe not this year, but probably next year. I was thinking maybe move him to second base. and try to sign.
And sign who? I'm sorry.
Well, not yet. I agree with you, not yet. Yep. But I'm just saying.
And sign who?
The possibilities.
What, Bichette? Sign Bichette?
Bichette. I was thinking of Bichette. You know, I mean, he's the only one that's available right now.
Gus, he's an awful defensive shortstop. I'm actually looking at it just out of curiosity. I'm looking at Savant here. Right. He's in the 1 percentile for range. He's in the 30-something percentile for arm strength. He can't move. His arm is weak, and his sprint speed is horrendous.
Yeah.
Like, these are real numbers.
And you're not, you're not spending money on that when you need pitching.
Yep.
No, but I got a feeling we're going to lose Pete. I have a very strong feeling we're going to lose Pete. So,
well, maybe.
I was thinking maybe get Arenado as a backup.
Oh, God, Gus. And thank you for the call. Good
Nolan
God.
Arenado?
Good God. You know, what other one do you know?
maybe his younger son?
You're going backwards here. What was the first? Oh, Lau, he said, from Tampa.
Yeah.
I always get the mix up. Lau,
whatever. Lau messed that up.
The Mets tried to get him at the trade deadline. He didn't want New York. That's not why it didn't happen, I believe, but I think the Mets maybe inquired. And
and he said, I'm not going?
I don't know if he said he wasn't going. I think that there were thoughts that he's not a fan of playing here. Like, no, I'm good in Tampa with the situation.
Yeah, I keep losing.
Yeah, well,
in Steinbrenner Field.
Exactly. Have fun. Right, dude. You're on the Rays. They're an embarrassment of a franchise. Meaning, like, you know, the ballpark, all that stuff. No fans.
Yep.
I'm not talking about the results because their, you know, results compared to what they spend is pretty good. But, yeah, so he didn't want any of that. So that's not going to happen now. That was a guy who really wanted the deadline. Mets need to overhaul this whole thing. They needed a little bit of the trade deadline. They didn't. I hope they acknowledge now they need to overhaul this. It can't just be the same type thing with minimal additions, even if it is big additions in the rotation.
Well, here's the other thing that we don't know. One of the things that I always said about Steve Cohen, and we're going to get the answer in a couple of months here, like as the hot stove really starts and then eventually stops, we're going to see what his tolerance of being embarrassed is. And that's, a Met fan should be inspired by that.
What do you think it is?
I think it's, he doesn't accept it. That's what I think.
I mean, people don't become that successful with accepting losing.
That's where I'm going.
Or embarrassment, even worse.
Yeah, that's why I use the word embarrassed. I mean, so, and the way the Mets season fizzled out, it was an embarrassment on a lot of levels here. So I think he's going to be very aggressive. Now, he's going to let Stearns do his stuff.
And he's competitive. Like, that's another thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what you want.
Oh, absolutely. He's engaged. I mean, he tweets here and there, and he spends money.
Meaning, like, a lot of owners can say, oh, yeah, we'll spend the money, whatever. But I think he's competitive. He wears it. Some people say, oh, well, we made good money this year. Okay, it happens. Fun season.
Oh, that's not him, dude.
I believe he's trying to prove a point here, and he's competitive,
so
and
do
he
I.
doesn't want his team, you know, an 83-win team. Come on. Scoff at that.
Scoff at that.
You're a king.
I believe that very strongly, that he's going to probably punch back aggressively. Now, he'll also let Stearns do his job, and that's one of the reasons why I think Cohen is interesting, because he's not overpowering where he hires somebody and then does the job for him. He hired Stearns because Stearns was highly thought of, a young, ascending baseball mind. He let him do things in his vision. But I think there's a good balance of, hey, the fans react with Pete. All right, now I'm going to jump in a little bit. He kind of took over the Soto stuff. I'm going to personalize him and his wife. I'm going to personalize this. That worked out. So I think it's a good balance. I think the only thing that fan's going to hate this, but it's the way I feel. Like, if Cohen at the last minute, if he thinks that somebody's going to give some stupid offer to Pete, and he gets antsy because fans are chirping, and he jumps in and he brings back Pete for 6 years or whatever, I think it's a horrendous
right,
move.
But think about it. If David Stearns advises, why though?
Because I think he's going to age horrendously.
Yeah, no, but so what?
I mean, so what?
So you move him aside. Like, if you're, the only way it becomes horrendous is if it prevents Steve Cohen from spending more eventually. And it's not going to.
Well, especially, we don't know that, though,
especially
Sal.
If it's his decision. Like, if I'm Stearns and I'm saying, okay, I want to build the team this way, I would not advise you going to this length from Alonso. And by the way, based on past performance, Steve Cohen has let DeGrom go. So he'll let Alonso go. I believe he will if he believes that it's bad business to extend him.
You don't think he thought it was bad business last year?
No,
and
I don't.
At the Mets, you're saying what he thought.
I thought.
And the Mets fans at the, what was that thing over at City Field? You were out there. The fan fest,
whatever
it was.
Amazing day.
You don't think that he reacted to that?
No, I do, but I don't think that was the sole reason why it was done. I think that they wanted Pete back. They knew what the market was for Pete. They had to go a little bit over it, but he was frustrated because Pete had these ridiculous demands, which I'm sure is going to happen again because they're already asking for 7 years. Mm-hmm. So, yes, I do think Cohen will listen to the fans, as he should, to a certain extent. They also wanted DeGrom back. He let him go, and that was the right move. So, but my point is, if Stern says, no, here's what I would do to try to build this team, and here's what could happen if we go above that, and Cohen says, okay, you know what? Screw it. I don't care. Just like he did with Correa for the $500 million. That had nothing to do with the fans. That had to do with he believed that that was the final piece to a championship team. Screw it. Do it. We'll worry about the ramifications later. He's got that type of money to where, oh, okay, if I'm willing to go, me, if I'm willing to go for $150 for Pete, and Cohen says, eh, we'll go for $200 million. The difference is $50
million. Yeah.
It's nothing to him.
Yeah.
So as long as it doesn't prevent the Mets, like, you can make a case, well, they need Diaz back, and it'd be great to have Alonso back, and then they need Skubal, and then they need another starter. Those are all realistic needs. If he says in any way, shape, or form, it's either these three or these two, then that's where you got to make the tough decision.
I don't think it's money-based as much as it is flexibility-based. So, yeah, he could go $40, $50, $60 million, you know, get 500 home runs as a Met, and he'll make it back in terms of merch. As people love the polar bear. I get all that. What I'm saying is, if Pete Alonso is playing first base opening day for the Mets next year, that's not good. We can talk about the sentiment of it. We can talk about the bounce back from an average after a real dip 2 years ago. We can talk about everything that we've already talked about a million ways sideways about Pete. He's an awful first baseman.
Right. I would only say it's not good if they don't upgrade everywhere else defensively. Like,
you want him playing first base?
No,
you want him making throws?
I don't care if he plays first base opening day. I'm saying he's got to be a part-time DH, part-time first baseman.
But who's going to be the first baseman? I mean, they can figure that out. But
well, yeah, they'll get a first baseman.
But I don't think that they will. See, and I don't know. But I think that if they bring Pete back, it would be under the guise of, you are our first baseman.
No,
which they can't. I'm saying that's not what I would do. That's not what you would do.
But that's different than the financial commitment.
I agree. That's why I said he can swallow the $50 million. Cohen can handle that as much as anybody. I'm with you. And outside of maybe Toronto.
Committing to him to be the everyday first baseman.
But I think that's what they're going to do.
I don't think Stearns wants
it. I don't think that Pete's going to come. I know Stearns doesn't want it. I'm with you. I don't think Pete's going to acquiesce and say, no matter how much sense it makes to us, and it makes great sense to us because we watch him try to turn a 3-6-3 double play. We watch him try to flip it to a pitcher covering and not just Senga. We watch him try to throw home on a contact play on a ground ball to first base and the runner's breaking as soon as you make contact. He can't do it. We watch him, you know, labor, just plod down the right field line on these pop-ups that real athletes go and get a lot more naturally, right? We watch that. So, I think that he thinks that he's a really good first baseman. I think that he thinks that because he can pick balls out of the dirt, whatever. He's got pride, and I respect that as well. So if somebody looks at Pete Alonso as a 4-5 year option with a prolific power bat, which he obviously is, and he's going to play first base for whomever, the Red Sox, whatever, well, then I don't think he's going to come back to the Mets and say, yeah, I'll take another year of money and more, another year and more money, but I'll play DH 75. He's not going to consent to that. He thinks he can play first base.
Well, then
he's nuts.
I told you my stipulation. It would be, we want you back. I'll even extend some of the money. You got to be a part-time DH. If it's anything other than that, I'm saying goodbye.
I agree with you. Yeah.
I think Stearns would agree.
Yes, he would.
And we'll see what happens with
I don't think Pete's going to agree. That's all the man. He's the one who's got to sign the contract.
Frankie calling from Flushing. What's up, Frankie?
What?
E.T. Sal. What's up, guys?
What's up, Frank?
All right, so, well, I'm good, bro. I love your show. I'm not calling a hate. I'm just, BT, I go back with you to Stephen A. days.
I've talked
to you before. I've always, you and Don LaGreca are the only people in New York on the radio that I've never disagreed with until recently. I just want to say, dude, again, your hate for Alonso is just immense. I can't listen to it. BT, he's not going to have a downswing next year. He's a great first baseman. I don't understand what you're watching. What makes him terrible? That he can't catch a pop-up in foul territory?
Okay. Frank. Let's talk a little bit here. Okay. So you could believe this or not. There are, and I will not mention names, there are a lot of people who do shows that don't watch both teams. They just don't. I can promise you, I do. Okay? And I think that you think that I know the game of baseball at least a little bit. Are you telling me that I'm wrong? That he's a good defensive first? Let's start there. You think he's good?
I'm telling you that I do think he's a good first baseman. However, I think, now this is my point, I think that, and you're going to say no, if he wasn't a Met, you would not think of him, think as less of him as you do.
Okay, that's, now that's my a good opinion. Point. Frank, that's a good point. I might even meet you halfway there, because you know why? When you watch somebody like Karl Anthony Towns, I thought Karl Anthony Towns was better than when he went Minnesota, because I didn't see all the soft deficiencies that I see as the Knicks. So when you see somebody every night, I do think that's a good point, and I'll meet you a little bit, as I said, when you watch somebody and you fixate on their flaws, it could cloud the overall judgment to an extent. I've never once said he's not among the most prolific power hitters of his generation. I've never once said that he isn't strapping on every day, which he does. I've never once said he can't pick the ball out of the dirt. What I've said, and what everybody who knows an ounce of baseball, including you and everybody else that watches him, everything else on defense, he sucks.
Just explain to me so I can have an understanding of where you're coming from.
Fine.
What aspect of his defensive play at first base?
Frankie, serious question. Do you watch the Mets, like all their games?
Almost every game.
Then that's a question you should never ask in your life. If you have to ask...
I don't see it. Maybe I have Mets colored glasses on, but I don't see... I don't think he's a gold glove first baseman, not at all. I'm not saying that, but he's still a really good first baseman.
Have you seen him try to throw the ball?
Not a lot. He doesn't do that. Okay, fine. I told you. That's why I want to ask you what gets you guys going with him. What do you hate about his first base play?
I'm going to tell you, Frankie, good call. And listen, I love that stuff. You disagree with me, you disagree with Sal, you call up, we'll give you back and forth. That's one of my favorite things doing radio. I love that. Good job, Frankie. All right, so we know what he does well. Let's just go to last night. Let's say the Mets are in the World Series and it's a one-run game. Okay, and he's holding somebody on first base, and there's a rocket a foot to his right. Do you have great confidence he's going to glove it, the footwork's going to be tight, the throw's going to be on the money to Lindor, who can then spit it back, either to Pete getting back to cover or the pitcher covering? The answer is no. And if you say yes, then you're just lying. Do you have great confidence a ball down the right field line, I'm not saying like something Soto can't get to, man on first base, Pete's the cut. You have confidence him taking a relay from Juan Soto and throwing a dot to the catcher on a bang-bang play that determines if you're going to win the World Series? The answer is no.
Frankie, I think it's as simple as this. And I respect the fact that you called up and at least admitted to it, saying you're not seeing it. Maybe you're looking at it through Mets colored glasses. Take the blue and orange shades off. And if you watch him play, as much as every Met fan loves Pete Alonso, and I want him back because I believe investing in his power is a legitimate investment that will be rewarded. Like, I'd rather invest in Pete's power than I would in Francisco Lindor doing what he's done for the last several years, because I think he's going to decline at shortstop. I'm not trying to pick on him, I'm just giving an example. Same thing with Nimmo. I have no idea what Brandon Nimmo is going to be next year. I know, bare minimum, Pete Alonso can hit 30-plus home runs, driving 100 runs, hitting behind Juan Soto. So I would invest in that. The question is, how much are you going to invest in that, and would you have him play first base? But if you watch Pete Alonso play first base defensively, he's got awful. He's awful. He's the last thing that I would ever refer to an athlete as. He's gotten good with the scoops at first base, maybe even great with the scoops at first base. However, there's a lot more to playing first base than scooping the ball. His footwork is atrocious. He's not quick, nimble. None of it. He can't throw. Like, I'm not trying to knock him. If you watch him play,
I know.
It's quite obvious.
Yeah, and the play that I referenced is a couple days ago when Vladdy, that little short hop, backhand, and that ball had some juice on it, and he came and he met the, rather than laying back and waiting for the ball to play him, he went and attacked it, got that backhand, threw a laser. I'd love to know, that it looked like he threw the ball 90 miles an hour to third base, maybe 92, 90, like low 90s. Pete can't do that. And just for the number heads out there, so I can at least quantify this with a number, so you guys know it's not hate. Baseball savant, he is in the 2 percentile in range. He is in the 5 percentile in arm strength. He is in the 8 percentile in sprint speed. He is a non-athlete. He is a lumbering, cumbersome, heavy-footed power hitter who could pick balls at first base, who's in his 30s early, is a righty, and just is a mess on defense.
Now, with all that being said, he's nowhere near the Mets' biggest issue.
Now, I would probably agree with that.
His defense is a part of the problem, but it's a part of the problem.
Yeah.
It's a bigger picture issue, and there are other players far more detrimental or instrumental in the failures of the Mets. Like, I would even, Brandon Nimmo, he's a problem.
Can't throw.
You could give me the numbers all you want offensively. He's nowhere near what Pete is offensively.
Yep.
While I love Nimmo, the person, I think he's a great guy, great clubhouse guy.
He's a leader.
He's a liability in the outfield. He can't run. He's got no range. He's got no arm.
Been injury prone the last couple of years. Yeah,
and his offense isn't enough to outweigh the... Like, that's a... And he's making enough money to where it's like a little bit of a nuisance.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have a center fielder. Soto's got deficiencies in right field. Again, I don't think that that's the primary thing either, but all of it together is the problem. And Pete wants 7 years at his age with his deficiencies.
Zero chance.
That's the 0.00. BT and Sal on the Fan. More your calls when we come back. 888-808-1019.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.
Couple things here. Giants, Jackson Dart, rookie, NFL offensive rookie of the month. So awesome. Nice honor for him.
That's great.
Obviously well deserved. Here's maybe even a more important note, because those, you know, weekly awards, monthly awards, like, was that even a thing when we were younger?
Yeah, they had player of the weeks, and yeah, they did. I remember that vaguely.
Crap. Player
yeah,
well, of the I mean, week.
He probably does. He's as a rookie.
Well, I think in his particular case, it's exciting because he's a, like you said, he's a rookie.
For sure.
NFL offensive player of the month is cool, but like baseball player of the month, I don't know. It doesn't, to me, that the monthly awards, like, come on, dude. What are we doing here? Employee of the month in professional sports?
For you, like, that's what I tell you, man. You don't enjoy some of those most basic, free, happy things that get you
How
riled up.
How is that a happy thing? Like, why would I care about that? It doesn't bother me. It's just, why does it mean anything?
It doesn't to you.
What means something.
Well, me, really, to be fair.
In sports, meaning something would be winning games. Like, what's the team's record in the month? Now, I'm not trying to take away from Dart in this particular case. I just think that all of it is like, oh, NBA player of the week. Oh, but like, players of the week, dude.
It's all sponsored, dude. It's all sponsored.
Well, that's
you
a different
that.
Story. That's a different story if that's the case. Then I'm all for that. More importantly, this segment brought to you by Deuce McBride.
Deuce.
He has rejoined the Knicks. That's according to Steph Bondi of the Post. Deuce has rejoined the Knicks in Chicago. Good indication. Bondi saying it's a good indication that he'll play tomorrow against the Bulls. McBride has been out the last couple of games for personal reasons.
They missed him.
Yeah, obviously they miss him. So
he started one of the games. Remember that he started the... Was it the second game? Second game, yeah. Thank you, Rami. Yeah.
So now, but why is that? Why can't Brown just figure out like who his starting lineup would be? With, you know, okay, well, if Mitch is here, it would be Mitch and then this configuration.
Mm-hmm.
Without Mitch, it should be easy. Here it is. Here's my starting lineup. Like, I hope he could figure that out, because if he can't do like Landry Shamet starting the other day, what are we doing here, dude?
I like Landry. I don't know if I need him starting, man. I'll meet you a little bit there. I think that he's still in the evaluation phase here, and Mitch's absence complicates it. Cat's injury complicates it. I like Kolek, but not everybody does. So maybe in the eyes of some, a true, certainly battle-tested veteran point guard, the absence of that, that complicates things a little bit here. Like, I don't know. I if everybody's healthy and they're going into the playoffs, you'd have to think it would be Mitch at the five, Cat at the four. I mean, at that point, would you just put Bridges at the two, OG at the three, and then Brunson at the one? That's probably starting five, right? So you move Bridges to the two rather than them having rather than being the wings and having a backcourt of Deuce and Jalen.
I would assume, right? That's going to be it. Well, it's not going to be Josh Hart.
I agree. It's not going to be Josh.
I don't think it should be Deuce. I'd rather have him coming off the bench. Let's say you have Deuce starting two guard.
Mm-hmm.
Then what would you do with the rest of it?
I like Deuce coming off the bench myself.
Yeah, okay.
But if you have him starting,
yeah. Who are you taking out? Taking out Bridges or Ananobi.
Well, no, but I'm saying, is Mitch back or not?
No, I'm saying Mitch would be back in this case.
Okay, then I don't think Deuce starts. That's the point. I think once Mitch comes back, then I think Cat goes to the four.
Right.
I think Mitch is the five. I think OG would remain at the three. Bridges at the two, better handle than OG. And then I think obviously Jalen at the one, and then you have Deuce coming off the bench.
Matt is calling from St. Augustine, Florida. What's up, Matt?
Hey, Matt.
Hey, boys. Hey, BT, YouTube Carl Lewis throwing out a first pitch.
I've seen it. It's embarrassing.
And LeBron James.
That's awful.
Arguably the best athletes of our lifetime. I think our definition of athlete, BT, is different. I think yours is more towards, did you have a six-pack and did you jump high?
No.
Mine is more towards...
That's not true.
It seems like it.
Well, that's not true, but go ahead.
Okay. Mine is more towards, can you look the part? You know, if you don't pick up a golf club for 3 years, can you go out there and look the part? Can you advance the ball?
Yeah.
That's an athlete, because I told you Ben Rice was an athlete. You hung up on me and gave me some silly...
I don't think he's a great athlete. I don't think he's very fast. I mean, he's got great hand-eye coordination, which is part of an athletic...
You just said it. You just compared athlete to fast. It's not.
Well, no,
it's not.
No, hold on. Matt,
catch
Matt,
a baseball
hold on.
Game and play the field
Matt,
in the major leagues,
Matt.
You're a hell of an athlete.
Yes, Matt, hold on. Listen, Matt. Relative to his peers, okay, he's a below-average athlete, all right? Relative to the world...
Yeah, disagree.
Well, that's fine.
Baseball players aren't great athletes.
You think he's slow.
He is slow, Matt!
And by the way, he can't really field.
I think he's slow.
Okay, Ben Rice is a terrible athlete.
Let's move on. I'm sick as a dog, man. I can't get into Ben Rice's
speed. It's hard to have with a lot of guys. Guys say athlete is all about how high they can jump and how fast they can run.
I don't know where you're getting this from.
That's LeBron James throw baseball. He looks like he's missing a chromosome. He's not an athlete. Oh, Anthony Towns.
He just said LeBron's not an athlete, Sal. That's what he just said.
Watch him throw baseball.
He
looks like he should be a lefty.
Okay.
No, he's not a baseball player.
You ever see him catch a football? You ever see him play wide receiver at his high school?
Well, I'm confused on, Matt, how you define athlete.
Do you think an athlete can pick up a baseball and look normal?
No, I know the answer is no. No, you can't.
Wait, the answer is no?
Wait. Yeah, so, hold, Matt.
Do you think an athlete can pick up a baseball?
Did you hear me?
Throw
Did I stutter?
Looking normal.
Did I stutter? The answer is no.
So you say no.
By the way, this is going down as the dumbest call in the history of the station. But just listen to me for one second, Matt.
I feel stupid too. I feel dumb
too. Matt, listen.
Thanks.
Matt. I mean, enough. I know he calls a lot, so it'll be good next time you call. But dude, that was the height of idiocy. Like there was contradictions and we're shouting. So good job hanging up on that. I would say this. No, you don't need. I was a horrendous athlete. I could roll out of bed and I could still hit 80. My arm is phenomenal because I practiced throwing. So if you take Carl Lewis or a gymnast or a wrestler or a jiu-jitsu 10-tip black belt and they never play baseball, of course they're athletes, but they can't throw because it's a repetition. So I can look great hitting fungos. I can't swing the golf club with any sort of fluidity or consistency. You're all over the mat, Matt. I don't even know what your point was, dude.
Well, that's my question. I'm not sure.
I don't know.
I'm not sure what he was trying to say.
I don't know.
And we do appreciate the call. Appreciate you listening. Like,
I love that you always said that.
How does he define what an athlete is what my question is.
He never answered it.
Well, that's what I wanted to know.
Well, let's investigate. Let's do ours. Because it's not just jumping and speed. It's hand-eye coordination. It's hand-foot coordination. It's depth perception. It's quick twitchness. I mean, there's so many aspects of being an athlete.
Right. Well, also, like, do you think Babe Ruth was a great athlete?
Yes. stretching the bat. Now, foot speed? No.
No, I don't think Babe Ruth was a great athlete. I think he was a great baseball player.
I'm in between there. I think.
Well, yeah, that's why I'm not sure what his thing is, and I guess I'm not sure what your thing is.
Well, what do you mean by thing? So the way Babe can swing,
right,
and the way Babe can throw, there's athletic traits that are transferable that other people can't do.
Like, you don't think Pete is a great athlete?
I don't think he's a fast athlete. I think that there's traits of his from his athletic profile that are pretty good, like hand-eye coordination, scooping the ball. Right. That's an athletic trait, and very good at it.
I don't look at Pete Alonso and say he's a great athlete. I look at him and say he's a great power hitter.
Right. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. But
I
would say the same thing about Babe Ruth. I don't look at Babe. Now, I didn't watch him play, but I'm just using him because of his stature. Like, I don't look at Daniel Vogelback and say he's a great athlete, or Cecil Fielder, or, you know, Alejandro Kirk. I don't know. And then these are just all guys who don't look athletic. There are guys who have. I don't think Ben Rice is a great athlete.
That's how it started.
Okay, so, right. But they could be great baseball players. I'm not sure what the point is. Or,
I have no idea. I don't know what the point
was. A great athlete like Carl Lewis or LeBron James. How could anybody ever in their life say that LeBron James isn't a great athlete?
I don't know.
He is a great. He's not only a great athlete, he's one of the greatest athletes the world has ever seen.
I would agree with that.
But he can't throw a baseball. Okay, so what? Like, both things can be true. I'm confused as to why Matt was confused.
Well, I really wish I had an answer for you. Maybe next time Matt calls us, he's less confused. I would say that, take Mattingly for a second. So when Mattingly was playing, right, people would say, he's not really a good athlete. Great hitter, you know, could obviously throw and came up as an outfielder, for those who might not know. Not great foot speed, but picking the ball, all those athletic qualities. So relative, and this is where I kind of get into semantics, and I don't even need to belabor it, but just to finish at least my point. Somebody like Mattingly on the field with his peers, Ricky, Winfield, guys from back in the day that can move, right? He was not a good athlete compared to them. Don Mattingly was also an elite point guard who had a full ride to Evansville, University of Evansville, was an all-state starting safety on a team that won the triple or the quad, however they did I don't even know. It was a big school, put it that way. So I think there's a lot of things that get left out because we are grading them on the ultimate stage. If Pete Alonso showed up to that softball game that you and I played it a couple of years ago, got news for you. Outside of Tiki, he would have been the best athlete there.
Right.
So I'm just saying it's all relative to who's next to you.
Right. And by the way, like, that is, you're right. You wasted a lot of time here, and we've been talking about it. Just get to your Carl Anthony Towns point. We'd rather talk about
that. By the way, the Towns point.
What was it? Do you know?
His point was that Carl Anthony Towns is the New York Yankees, essentially, because great regular seasons, but doesn't have the skills to get it done at the postseason.
I think that's actually disrespectful to the Yankees in a lot of ways. Rob is calling from Newark, New Jersey. What's up, Rob?
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Good. Was Listen, better about 5 minutes ago.
What?
No, go ahead.
I just want to mention about a center fielder and also where Anthony Volpe belongs at that point. So I think Brian Buxton from Minnesota is a good center fielder. He's a leadoff hitter. He's a contact hitter.
He's always hurt.
And I know he gets hurt.
He doesn't want to leave Minnesota. That was obvious last year at the trade deadline.
Well, I know, but make an attempt on him. He hit 30.
Teams
he
did. Remember, I don't know if you remember, Rob.
Runs.
Last year, teams did. The Mets were one of the teams who were rumored to be in there. You know, they needed a center fielder. Buxton immediately shot down any kind of thought of trade rumors, saying he didn't want to leave Minnesota.
Yeah, he's not going anywhere. I don't even know what his contract is. You know, Byron Buxton, and thank you for the call there. Right? Listen, I'm all open to suggestions here. They need somebody to hit top of the order. You know, Byron Buxton, suddenly 31, 32 years of age. When he was coming up, he was thought to be this ridiculously, can't-miss prospect. And his talents kind of say that, but it's been around 11 years. He's a .248 hitter.
He signed through 2028.
He's not going anywhere. Here's a little quick AI Google search for you. I'm just going to read right here from the AI robot. There are no active trade rumors for Byron Buxton because he's repeatedly stated he does not want to be traded and possesses a no-trade clause, despite exploring the possibility that the 2025 deadline, which included teams like the Braves and Mets making inquiries, Buxton's commitment to the Twins remains strong. End of story. You could bring it up.
Losing a lot of games. I'm
not arguing. I respect that he wants to be. I'm not arguing he's not a good center fielder. Wouldn't be a good option. There are some issues there. Like you said, always hurt, getting older. But I would not. There's no point of talking about it. He's not going anywhere. Victor's calling from Sacramento. What's up, Victor?
Hey, Sal and BT. How are you?
How are you, Vic?
So just real quick, moved out West Coast 2 months ago and still listen to you guys every day, so thanks for what you do.
Thank you.
But I just wanted to talk about the Dexter Lawrence, Carl Banks thing and then ask Sal a question, if I may.
Yes.
But so Dexter needs to own up a little bit, because here's the thing. You look at the tape, he's getting double-teamed. I'm not arguing that, but last year he was getting double-teamed just as much and still having impact plays and disrupting the backfield and all that. So that's where, you know, I think Dexter needs to step up a little bit. But look at the other defensive linemen, okay? Minus Burns, Mr. Wannabe LT, Abdul Carter, does not have more than one sack this season, okay? Kayvon Thibodeau, okay, only has 2.5 sacks on the year. Where are they stepping up on their one-versus-one matchup, okay?
Carter's been applying a lot of pressure, and I know you want to get the end result, but he's been pressuring quarterbacks. He also is being played out of position early on the first few weeks of the season.
That's fair.
Yeah. And Kayvon, look, I think I would want more from Kayvon, but he's been better, I guess, than he was a year ago. Forget about the sack total numbers. And bottom line, overall, Victor, it just hasn't been good enough. Outside of Burns, the impact has not been felt from the Giants' defense.
Agreed. Plenty of blame to go around, right? And from the hype from the offseason, they are not living up to potential, but I think those two in particular need a little bit more. Fair points that you said, but Sal, what I really wanted to ask you, and I listen to you guys almost every day, and I want to say back on Monday, Tuesday, you said that Shane has done an okay job. Can you tell me where, and can I just list my points real quick? So first off, the draft class. That seems to be a running thing with Shane.
I honestly don't recall defending Shane. If anything, I might have said it as a throwaway. Like, I'm not ripping him too much. He's done an okay job. But go ahead, continue. I don't recall this.
Okay. So really, your main thing was the blame on Dable and their Demons corner, which I
don't
agree.
Yeah, but fair enough, but I want them both gone. Like, that's just to be clear. Okay, so go ahead.
Agreed. But let me just, sorry. We do not say enough about how bad of a job as the GM has done, because we don't see him on a weekly basis, okay? So the draft class, you want to talk about this year's draft class? That's fine. Jackson Dart, probably the best one picked this year, was Dable's guy, okay? Darius Slayton, 3-year, $36 million. You refuse to give that contract to Saquon Barkley, but you give it to a number three receiver, okay? And then the last point I wanted to bring up, you talked about Daniel Jones' success being egg on Dable's face. It's really on Joe Shane's, because here's the thing. That Colts team is well built. It has so much more talent on the roster, solid offensive linemen, more weapons. Who constructs the roster, Sal? It's the GM, and he had years to do it, and he's failed.
Yeah,
thanks, guys.
Thank you, Victor. We appreciate your loyalty listening. I don't disagree with that.
Me neither.
I don't recall disagreeing with that, other than what I would say is I believe Jones' success is more of an indictment of the head coach than it is Joe Shane. Obviously, it's both. Shane wasn't able to build a team here, but Dable's job is to Dable, and part of why Dable was brought in was to maximize what Daniel Jones can do. Mm-hmm. Just like Mike Clown with Carl Anthony Towns. And part of why he was hired was to maximize what Cat could do offensively. Now, it's only been 4 games, so we got to see it come out. But it didn't happen with Dable and Jones. And it did the first year and then just totally regressed. And look what he's doing the first year in Indy.
I don't know about the other shows. I know about this show. I don't think we've ever once had a conversation where we're like, oh, yeah, Dable's got to go. And absolutely, Shane deserves to come back. I mean, that never happened once. But good call. He's got a lot of his points.
I might have said, like, he's done okay.
But he has. Yeah, I mean, that's just being fair to the conversation. He's had a couple of things that have been okay, for sure. He's had a couple of things that have been really good. Now, his point about Jackson Dart, that's an interesting one. That's probably going to wind up saving Dable's job, where Dable wanted Dart, and the reporter Shane did not. And look, imagine if there was no Jackson Dart here this year.
But you don't think there's any way that they would keep Dable and fire Shane?
I don't think there's any way that that's going to happen.
Okay, and no. Do you think there's a way that they keep Shane and fire Dable?
I did, but less and less now because of Dart's progress.
I still think that that's a possibility.
Well, if they lose those games now, you think they're going to win more games than
They got 9 games to go. They got to start winning some games. I would bet anything.
Yeah. And they got some easy games at the end of the schedule. So
like four,
and you think they're going to win the Raiders? I forget
four winnable games.
There, right?
Yeah. Washington at home, Vikings at home,
Vikings,
Cowboys at home.
Yep, yeah. And Dolphins. Yeah, those are, you got to win Cowboys, a few of those. Yeah. Cowboys probably. Yeah. You got to win a few of those. So, you know, if they don't, and I'm less convinced that they will, well, then maybe he will. You know, then you're going to see something different. But I think it's still up to as long as Dart looks good, it kind of seems like they're going to bring him back and he's going to get another run. And part of me understands that, and then part of me is frustrated by it. 888-808-1019. It's BT and Sound on the Fan. All right.
Call of the day.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.
Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
Today's call today brought to you by my friends at Edison Heating and Cooling, New Jersey's heating expert. Joey Clams is calling from Brooklyn on the first segment of the show. What's up, Joey Clams?
Joey boy.
Forget about it. Cadillac's better than a Lincoln.
That's
how you
right.
guys doing?
You
listen,
better believe
Sally,
it.
Yeah. Sally, after four games, you called the Nick Coach a clown. 9 years. This guy Boone is a clown. He's a bozo. He wins regular season games against Puss. Look at the the way the Yankees play. It's terrible. You know what Vladdy said? He goes, I'm a better baseball player all around because of Don Mattingly.
That's all. You know, I didn't see that.
You guys stick up for this guy, Boone. Like
well, Joe,
crazy.
Hold on. I got a question for you. Number one, yes. We both like him and know him, but when it's time to say he made a mistake, like when he went to Cortez and getting in the World Series, I crushed him. Let me ask you a question. You think that the Yankees would be champions if they had a different manager? That's pretty much what you're saying, right?
If they had a better manager,
is that what
absolutely,
you're saying?
And a better coaching staff.
That's what you're saying, right? I think you're nuts.
Right.
I think you're wrong. Totally. I respectfully disagree.
No way. He's terrible.
It's the roster, Joe.
Terrible decision in the playoffs.
Joe, it's the roster, Joe.
Manage the game. NJ Prospects, bring your daughters down here for softball. Come see
there you go, Joey Clams. Appreciate it. In case you missed anything, check it out on the free Odyssey app. We've done a lot of different stuff today. Of course, fun show on this Thursday, Football Friday. Tomorrow, look forward to that. 888-808-1019. How much time we got here, Dove? Enough time for a couple?
Probably 2-3 minutes. Yeah.
I didn't even look. It's 52. It's already getting late. Let's get a call in here. Tyler's calling from Caldwell, New Jersey. What's up, Tyler?
Hey, guys. Happy Thursday. So, I know you guys haven't been the most vocal on the station about the Giants and a couple players specifically. I know we're on a time crunch, so I really want to talk about Kayvon Thibodeau.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand how people can watch the Giants defense right now and say that he is, I don't want to say underperforming, but he is objectively playing the best football of his career right now. He's second in the league for defensive ends and run stops. He's on pace to have the most tackles for losses in his career. Listen, there are specific indicators that pass rushers have, aside from sacks, that show that they are getting to their quarterback consistently.
That's true.
Pressures, hits, all that. He is doing that. He has been a much better player in the run game. If the Giants trade him, let me ask you something. Did the Giants look to move Tucker Osi when they drafted JPP? There is not a single position group on this team right now that is a legitimate strength and has depth. We saw it with the receiver core. We're seeing it with the defensive backfield. Oh, yeah, love Deontay Banks, by the way. You know, That's another thing. I know I'm all over the place, but, you know, we want to throw criticism at Dexter Lawrence. And, you know, I don't think it's coincidence that we're talking about this around the trade deadline and people call it for Shane's job. What? Where's the criticism for any of the draft picks who are outright busts on this football team? That 2022 draft was so crucial. You have five picks in the top 100. Two of them aren't even on the field and probably cut, being Evan Neal and Josh Azudu.
Mm-hmm.
What finally showed something this year, and he should be brought back, not on some crazy deal. He's probably the best corner on the team right now. Kayvon steadily improved, and there is nothing else. Listen, Dex had a kid. He's coming off an injury, probably a little out of shape with limited reps in training camp. There is not a question in the world, in my opinion, that he's going to figure it out. You know, I'm curious. I'm going to listen to Pittsburgh radio this week and see how much criticism there is for T.J. Watt and Alex Highsmith, who have a combined seven sacks this year, who make more than Dexter Lawrence.
I bet you their defense is getting criticized, Tyler. I'm not listening to Pittsburgh. I guarantee you their defense is getting criticized. And nobody's picking apart Kayvon Thibodeaux. I don't think he has been as good as he was supposed to be when you take him with that pick that they have.
That's the point.
We're not trying to nitpick here. We're also not trying to give out, you know, participation trophies. And again, I'm not minimizing his impact this year. Better in the run, more sound, more solid. That's great. When you take a player that high, he's supposed to be How come Micah Parsons did it when he was with the Cowboys? When you take a player that high, and who's picked after Kayvon Thibodeaux was, meaning a later pick.
Yeah.
When you're picked that high as a pass rusher.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have to watch the film and break it down and look at the advanced metrics to feel his impact on the game. I should see it when I sit on the couch every Sunday like I do with the elite players. And it's not about Thibodeaux. It's just about the defense overall, which has big names, but it's been disappointing.
And he's been better this year. He just does not fully represent, at least in the eyes of you and I, what we thought he would be coming out of Oregon as the fifth overall pick here. I mean, he's on pace for five sacks. He's, you know, doesn't have a ton of tackles, no forced fumbles. I mean, again, listen, there's other things interiorly that I'll let the guys who actually diagnose the film, let them do that. You know, the stunts and this and the double teams and all that. I'm not saying there's no value. And I have been more upfront than most saying he's had a better year. I've said that most of the season. I acknowledge that. But I thought he was going to be a game wrecker, like I thought Abdul Carter would be. I know Abdul's almost getting home quite a bit. He leads rookies in pressures, but until you start getting home, which I think eventually he will, beginning next year, et cetera, and gets a little bit thicker and stronger, you're not wrecking the games. And you ask for Lawrence Taylor's number, you got to wreck some games. You drafted fifth overall like Kayvon was, you got to wreck some games. That's all I'm saying. It's not terrible.
And Brian
He's not great.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.